All right. Hi, I'm Sunir Shah, and I'm the founder of the Meatball Collective. I have a personally long history with wikis. I started in 1997 when I was just entering my undergrad in computer science, back on the original wiki, which was part of the Portland Patent Repository. It's a pretty hardcore software engineering website at the time, and I, thinking that I was going into computer science in my career, decided to go into that. And it really changed the way I saw the internet and how collaboration went on. So 3 years later, after having become quite a strong contributor on Wiki, the original Wiki, I started the Meatball Collective and tried to capture what constituted at that time standard, the Wiki culture at the time. Now, I will go on for hours if you ask me about what the meaning of wiki is. And I don't think wiki is a technology. I think wiki is more of a culture, more of a value system rather than, you know, reversible change and recent changes and all that. It comes more from our values. So when Eric asked me to speak today, I was hoping he'd just give me a very soft and easy topic, you know, to describe what is a wiki. But then he went and took the easy one, and I had to do something quite difficult. And I was, you know, not very happy about that. But it was very good for me because I got to meditate on what actually I thought would be something new and interesting to say today. And he suggested that I talk a little bit about conflict management, conflict resolution. I got to think about it. And it took me a while to come to an understanding of conflict resolution and what makes Meatball what it is. And for the last year, if you've been following Meatball, we've been having quite a crisis in conscience recently, just as wikis have become very popular, as a number of people have tried to ride the new wiki popularity wave, and this has really not gone well with the Meatball Collective. So trying to come to the bottom of this, of where we are and what Meatball is, I was inspired by the great internet Bible, Snow Crash, by Neal Stephenson, when he talks about how people, the book Snow Crash is about ideologies and mind viruses and things like this, something that we all here are aware of, such as with things like copyleft, which functions as a philosophical tool to express these values. But within that book, he has one of the groups, the Mafia, and the Mafia says, and one great scene, Uncle Enzo, the head of the Mafia, says, "We don't do ideology here. We care about personal relationships. It's about me and you, and that's all. And that's how we get things done." And in the end of the day, the Mafia wins. And I think, you know, if Neal Stephenson wrote it down, it must be true. So if you got to look at what makes, I think, these kind of environments work, it's personal relationships. And you can see the testament to the value of personal relationships with all the people here from Wikipedia who've come here to have the party. They've come here to see us talk. It's all about personal relationships. How did you raise $20,000? It was all from the personal relationships. So that's what I decided to talk about, rather than talk about technology. So if you don't believe me so far, many people look at Wikipedia as an encyclopedia, the content. And they say that's really the most important thing, and that's what attracts people to the site. It may be the case, but it's not really the most important thing. The most important thing about Wikipedia are the people writing Wikipedia. It's the community there. The community is more important than the content. That's because people don't organize unconsciously. Even though there is a lot of text there and anyone can edit the site at any time, they don't do that just because they can do that, and they certainly don't know how to do that right away. I mean, you have to learn a little bit before you get to Wikipedia. Who knows about the neutral point of view when they start off? And also, the encyclopedia doesn't write itself. The documents don't write itself. And more importantly, they don't read themselves. Like, what's the point of the document, you know, unless someone else is going to read them? So ultimately, it's the people that really matter. And if you look at what that means is that it's the people who maintain, upgrade, protect, defend, organize, and basically do all the work on the site. They do the stuff to the documents. So looking at the site as an encyclopedia, it really misses the really major important part about Wikipedia is that it's an open collaboration. In other words, documents do nothing by themselves. So Sam Ruby spoke earlier this year at Emerging Tech Con about the Atom Wiki and the EchoWiki, the Echo project, to create a new feed for RSS. And he was talking about the failure that AtomWiki had, because they had a major conflict on that wiki that almost basically ruined the project. And he had a very good point, one that comes straight from my experience as well, that the text or the source, if it's open source or anything, that what happens will reflect the people who write it. So if he says, if you have a community in imperfect alignment, a wiki will accurately reflect this state. Given a group with a genuine desire to align, a wiki can provide a powerful and positive feedback loop. So either you have a conflict in your community and it will come out in the text, or you guys will be all together and it will come out in a glowing collaborative project. So if it's all the people, where does the power come from? Now, if you look at Lawrence Lessig's book, Code and the Other Laws of Cyberspace, he comes up with four major power structures in society, which are the social, the technical, the legal, and economic parts of regulation in a normal society. Now, most online communities, because they're run by programmers or people with technical backgrounds, and they're running the site, they have all of this technical power. And especially since that happens to be their skills, it's their potency. They have technical skills. So when they come to regulate the site, they look for technical solutions, technical fixes. But wikis are totally different. Wikis have very few technical controls on the site. The regulation on the site is peer-to-peer or collaboration or a negotiation, as I call it. It's a social, the emphasis is on social solutions and very, very small technical solutions. Yeah, and that is the intrinsic property of the wiki security system. It's up to you guys to organize yourself. It's about personal relationships, if you will, between each of you individually. So if everything on the site has to do with community, from security, regulation, to writing, and all that, then it's about the personal relationships between the two. The power on a wiki does not come from the technical power in the script. It does not come from any tools or whatever. It comes from the social network that forms a site. And there's like there's this rule of open source that gets thrown out every so often. The developer is always right. And the question is, from this conference's point of view, how does the concept of personal relationships fit into the developer? Now, many would cynically say that this is not very good for personal relationships, because if open source is supposed to empower the user, then the user has no relationship to the developer, necessarily, because the developer does not have to talk to the user. That's not really true. It's really the developer who's responsible. And if a developer wants to see his project succeed, he will form a personal relationship with his user. And also the user has to form a personal relationship with the developer. So there's no power structure here. If there's no relationship with the user may not use the software. And if the user makes no relationship to the developer, nothing will happen. The same thing is true on a wiki. If people come into the site and they don't form a relationship with the community, it's very hard for them to make anything happen. It's also very important to remember the flip side of a personal relationship. Everyone has the right to leave. You may lose your relationship. So it's the attention economy, stupid, to borrow a phrase from George Bush, or not Bush, from Bill Clinton, I should say. And so even though we have all this power in our personal relationships that holds us to the site and it makes things happen, no one's forced to be on your site. They can leave if they don't like you or they're bored. So you have to form these personal relationships with people in the community in order to keep them there and keep them motivated. However, sometimes you want to demotivate someone, like a troll or a vandal or whatnot, that is being very disruptive. So the right to leave is also very important from the community's point of view as a part of its defense. So it's all about impersonal relationships at that point. It's still about the social power. In that case, you would just dissuade interaction. As they say, don't feed the trolls, don't talk to them, and don't give them anything to stick to the site. Give them no relationship to the site. And if it's all about personal relationships, then you don't have a technical power on them. Volunteers can come and go as they please. You can't control them. If you want them to do something, you have nothing on top of them except whether or not they like you. All you can do is really control yourself. You can either be nice to them or mean to them. You can respect them. You can be interested in what they're doing or not. All you really have is your hands, heart, and mind, as I say. You can only convince people. You can only say something intelligent, or you can do the work. Otherwise, be quiet because you can't do anything else. So power only comes in these kind of models when people grant you influence. And I think that's actually a better system in like an open collaborative project. It's more, I think, democratic. So if everything on a site, on these sites, really comes from personal relationships and the social dynamics of the site, how does that actually translate into getting things done? How did that result in conflict? So a long time ago, I took this course in my business class in my undergrad, and I was forced to read Harvard Business Review. And this idea of fair process, I had to read. And it really was a very attractive. This is before I even started Meatball. And everything on Meatball comes down to fair process. So what exactly is fair process? First, you should assume good faith. People are usually acting in good faith. So what does that mean? It means that when people come to the site, they're coming there and they're volunteering their time. I mean, no one's being paid for that. There's nothing to gain from screwing around. So why are they doing what are they doing? They're doing something they think is valuable, a valuable use of their time. So they're probably acting in good faith. Now, this is not all the time, but 99% of it's true. So most of the conflicts are miscommunications or they're conflicting goals, but they're not malice, right? Conflicting goals is not malice. It's just two different people trying to do two different things. So, however, people, when they get into conflicts online, they often blame the other person, saying they're doing something malicious or wrong. They say they misconstrue something they say, and they get into a flame war. This is very common, and we have smileys and whatnot to solve that problem, but really, it's really incumbent upon the reader to control themselves and therefore be optimistic about what the other person is doing. And the corollary to that, of course, is unwise to test others' ability to assume you're acting in good faith. You know, don't be a jerk, as they say. So the other important thing is the principle of constant respect. So my roommate in Ottawa, he's a risk manager at one of the largest frosh bars in Ottawa, and he was telling me about how good bouncers function. What do they do to make sure that conflicts get resolved in a nightclub? And he was telling me this outside this one club where we watched a bouncer throw out one drunk guy onto the street in a very violent way. And he was very, very angry about this. And all he wanted to do at that point, though, was get his jacket and leave. But the bouncer kept antagonizing him, right? Because he was trying to show off how tough he was, how strong he was. So then the guy got angry and jumped back into line and then started yelling at the bouncer. The bouncer picked him up and threw him against a bike post and he cut his head, right? And he was much more angry, right? Why was that necessary? Why was that violence necessary? It wasn't. He could have just got him his jacket. And that's what my roommate told me about the idea of the principle of constant respect. When you're trying to get someone to calm down, you say nice things to them, you know, hi, how are you doing? Are you enjoying your time at the club? Is there anything I could do for you? Could you please take your beer glass off the pool table? And then they will do it. But if you go up to them and say, take your beer glass off the pool table, you're likely to get into a conflict. So even with the people that suck, you should give them constant respect because that will actually reduce the number of conflicts in total. So how does this fit to... I'm sorry. And also the final thing is that you should forgive and forget conflicts. Because we assume good faith, people are doing good things, usually. Even if you get angry at them, you should let go, because they probably misunderstood them. Mistakes, and if they make a mistake, it's still a mistake, even if it was a social mistake. And of course, if you hold on to a conflict, it means it hasn't ended. So you have to move on yourself. And this means more than forgiving and forget it in your heart. It also means in the software. I love this cartoon. It's the ghost of Usenet past. Right? So... As many of you have written many strange things on Usenet before, and I'm sure you can go to Google's groups and find all the flame wars I've had when I was 16. Please don't. it comes back to haunt you. And it's very important in this day and age, in the information age, to forget all the stuff from the software. So if those are three principles about controlling yourself, how does it fit into a community model? So as I was saying, I found this article in my undergrad. And it talks about all those three principles as well. But fair process is this management principle that came out of Europe, mostly. And it's not something that really has caught on too much, but it's called procedural justice. People really get agitated when things are not done in a fair way. They don't have to be paid equally. They just need to make sure that they're being treated fairly. So there's this one example where Volkswagen had here in Europe, they had created this new way of doing assembly line work where they turned the assembly line into these cells where the assembly line workers were given power to do be as creative as they wanted to be. And this worked very well. Productivity went through the roof. In Europe, assembly line workers were much happier and whatnot. Then they tried taking this to Mexico and just imposing it on the Mexican factory. And they were even going to increase the wages of the Mexican workers. But the union there decided to kill it. Why? Because it was imposed upon them. So this led Kim and Milburn to look at this and go, what went wrong? Why did this method of empowering users not work? And it was because there was no fair process. And this is very, very important. If you don't engage people and you don't explain to them what's going on in their lives and you don't make it clear to them what they're supposed to be doing, then they're not going to want to work with you. So this is very, very, very important. It's often missed online because you have the proprietor of the site who has technical power. They might just do things. He becomes like a god king. He believes he has all the power and he can do whatever he wants. And this will actually kill your personal relationships with your users because you're saying they're not important to you. So it's all about the people here on the site. It's all about those personal relationships. Now, there are some caveats you should understand about this. This does not mean when you talk to your users that you need to find a consensus with them. They don't have to agree with you. All you need to do is feel like their voice was heard. Forcing consensus is actually very wrong. It's a good way to, you know, push your opinion around because people will actually stop talking to you in order to get the consensus that you're forcing. However, any time you violate this concept of fair process, you'll get retribution. And this is where you get trolling quite frequently, is when they see people with power on the site acting without the consultation of the people they're affecting. Then trolls love this stuff and they try to cause the sysops and system administrators, moderators and whatnot, to violate the fair process and thereby cause huge conflicts within the community. So that being said, to bring this to a more specific case, Eric brought up the idea of the edit war that happens quite frequently in Wikipedia and where two people argue over one article. And then eventually, or quite frequently, it gets locked down by some system administrator. So Eric covered what an edit war is, but it's basically, to summarize again, when two people fight over a single page and what should be on that page. And within wiki culture, for years, since the first edit war, we've all considered this to be incredibly boring. Like, you two are completely immature, childish losers. Go home and go outside and leave us alone. Whatever, so we kind of let it go. Actually, on C2, the common thing to do is just ignore it for a while. And Wikipedia has the neutral point of view, which actually allows you to resolve a lot of the edit wars, which are about the philosophical direction of a page. And MeepleWiki has a contingent point of view, which is very similar, except we don't have to be, you don't have to couch your opinions in maybes and whatnot. It's very similar. But if you have these moderators coming in to solve the problem, you get things like locked pages. So you shut down the activity on the pages with conflict, so no one can edit the pages. And this basically is the same thing as bouncing from a nightclub. You have some external, neutral, objective person theoretically coming in, not necessarily, of course, neutral or objective, or even external, coming in to end the conflict, right? But often doing this is going to get you retribution because you're going to kill the fair process. You can't have a fair process after the bouncers come in, right, and ended and negotiated a settlement for you, because people have already felt that their fair process has ended and they're not going to go in with any process you could come in after the fact. So the negotiation between the two parties has to be continuous and not post moderator. So what's really wrong with that? You're not assuming good faith. If two people editing the page, you're assuming one of them or two of them or someone are doing something immature and wrong and immoral. And really you're trying to not control yourself but control them. It's not respectful. I mean, you're saying to them that they're doing something wrong and you're ending what they're working on. It's just stopping them from working. And of course, it violates fair process and the principle of wiki openness, where everyone can edit every page. So this is a huge, huge problem. And the other thing is, it may not even work, because you may lock one page, but you can't lock the whole wiki. You know, there's possibly an infinite number of pages on a wiki, because you just keep creating them over and over again. And this happens all the time on wikis, especially the original one. So by locking one page, all you're doing is saying, you can't pour all that energy at this page, but then it's just spread around to other neighboring pages. So when you see that, then the moderator might have to recan the worms with a larger can, and therefore ban the angry user. But that's not really resolving the conflict. That's just exerting more and more power. And that's not very good for an open collaboration. So a better answer might be, in fact, to let people argue as long as they want to. You know, if you can, try to resolve the conflict like adults. Most of the time, I imagine this is going to happen. If people are arguing over a particular angle or that these other views point can come in, you can use a neutral point of view and put both opinions, and that works quite effectively on Wikipedia. And in fact, most of the time, most conflicts can be resolved if you give people a personal relationship and you treat them with respect, and you can actually resolve the conflict. Otherwise, if you can't, you just have patience, because they'll run out of energy eventually. I mean, not everyone can spend all their time on the site all day long, unless you're an undergrad like I was when I was doing it. So just remember, you should always remember, though, you will be here longer than they will. As we say in Meatball, Meatball's around for 50 years, whatever. We'll just wait, and then we'll clean it up later. So to answer this, if you want to get into a technical solution that reflects the values of personal relationships, then what you can do is if you're so concerned about the authority of those pages, you can just say that the editable pages that you have on Wikipedia are not authoritative pages. They're just scrap pages, working copies of the articles. However, after 2 weeks of inactivity, you can assume that no one finds anything wrong with the page, and then you can publish it to some sort of public version of Wikipedia, which is fully GFDL'd and all that. And then you can scrap whatever people were working on, all these working versions of them, because they're no longer important. You have a nice, clean version of the page, and then you store the full version history of these clean versions. So this way, you forgive and forget the conflict, but you allow people to do the full negotiation amongst themselves without having some moderator. So this is much better, because people might be acting in good faith, and you don't need some moderator from outside who may not know anything about the situation to come in. It allows the people who are actually involved in the situation to resolve it themselves. It's not punitive either. You're not saying to these people what you're doing is bad. Rather, it's more constructive, because you actually force them to come together in some way and negotiate some sort of final solution. I mean, that's hopefully the case, not necessarily always. We all know some people are not going to be constructive. However, for the most part, it's a fair and inclusive process, so you'll probably get a greater chance of getting people to agree. And of course, in the end, of course, it forgives and forgets the conflict, and we don't have all these crazy arguments about Israel and Palestine holding you up from getting a job in the future. So, some slides are missing. Oh well. Anyway, so we should take the long view, essentially. Take the long view. As you have 50 years, you don't have to get it right today, tomorrow, this week. And you can just focus on letting people build their personal relationships rather than having someone come in from outside and control them. And that way you can build a better community, and it's all about building more and wider personal relationships and building a better community. And that will solve most of your conflicts, I hope. I'm done. If anyone has any questions, though, about this crazily high-ended abstract talk, I'm willing to take them.